So I was asked to talk about ethics. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? Is that an oxymoron, or can we really do that? Okay, so here's, I've been doing this 25 years, and I came into the business after having a professional tennis career. Not so good, got beat a lot. So of course that motivated me to become an opera singer, and then I had 14 years as an opera singer. Did a little better, saw a lot of the world, and then ran out of money. So when you run out of money, what do? You sell insurance, right? You know that. So of course I started selling health insurance with a group called the National Association of Self-Employed. Anybody know that name? Remember that? To small business owners. And I wound up with 500 guys on my hierarchy making a lot of money. And I was taught how to sell. And the first thing I was taught how to sell was, oh, that's my definition of ethics. Well, let's do that first. Okay, ethics means governing the behavior of an individual or group, which ultimately determines whether an action is right or wrong. That's what ethics means. When I do something, when you do something, when we do something, is it right or wrong? Now, I submit to you that nobody does anything that they don't think is right. Think about that for a minute. Everybody thinks what they do is right, isn't it? True? A terrorist thinks he or she is right. We sell certain products. We think they're right. But ethics says, I have to take a hard look at that. Am I right or wrong? And when I started in this business, this is what I was taught. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Always be closing. Did you learn that? What's the most important part of the sale? The close. So I ran around manipulating people, tying people down, warming them up, probing them, trial closing them, answering objections, and then doing the big close. I had all the big closers. Doorknob close, hold the pen close, pay yourself first close, teach our close. Anyone still using those? Good. All right, but what I realized, and then I always got to think about it, by the way. So I spent most of my time chasing clients. And I said, you know, I'm 2 years into this business or 3 years into this business. If this is the way I've got to spend my life, manipulating people, going through this process, I made sales. And going home and looking in the mirror and say, did I close hard enough? I'm done. For two reasons. One, my ego went down the tubes because I was chasing people all the time. So this is one of the rules in my system. Never chase people. Doesn't happen. You get a clear yes, a clear no, or a next appointment, otherwise you're done. If you're chasing anybody, I talk to people, they say, I'm doing great. I say, what is great? And they say, well, I got 10 million in the pipeline. How much do they have in the pipeline? Zero in the pipeline. They got 10 million in hope, zero in real business. They're chasing $10 million. What is it like to chase somebody? What does it feel like to chase a client for business? It's awesome? Oh, exhausting. I thought he said it's awesome. You leave. Out. Yeah, it's exhausting, and you don't get it anyway, and if you get one, it's too bad because then you chase everybody else. And manipulating people, ethical or unethical? Wouldn't you say unethical? So what's right or wrong? And this is the problem that we face. It's a conditioning that's taken place, this is what I believe. From the 1850s, the conditioning has been, you are a salesman. ABC, by the way, says always be caveman. You are a salesman. but you have to go out and hunt and kill to make a sale. You got to go out and prospect. You got to go out and find who you're going to sell to. I can't stand on a stage. You've got to find these people, and it appeals to our hunt and kill mentality, which still percolates in our ancient brain. You know, we have two brains. We have a modern brain and an ancient brain. All of us, especially us men, have this percolating in us that we need to go out and hunt and kill in order to be happy and to be real men. You know, I gotta win. I gotta make the sale. And that's what we do. Now, on the other side of the fence, we have our clients, if I can get that to change, and they have the same cave person brain, and they're protecting themselves. They don't go out and hunt and kill, but what they do is they say, how can I get your information so I can eat? What they don't say is, you know what? I'd like to get your information and pay for it. They just want your information. Doesn't every consumer want your information? And what do you often do to be a good person? Give it to them. And that's the other problem. This room is filled with good people. Honest people, helpful people. But if you're just going to be good, honest, and helpful, chances are you're not going to make any sales. But you will educate a lot of people. So I teach about two personalities you have to have, and this has to tie in with ethics. One is you have to have a good friend personality. I got to be a good person, a good heart. I want to take care of people. All the things that MDRT stand for and that Howard was talking about, finding the right things to give people, this is all. He just gave me 5 minutes. This is all, so you have to have that personality. But the other side of it, I teach people you have to have a lethal business personality. And they have to come together, just like the two different economic powers. So what happens here is when we sit down with a client, whether we like it or not, if we're in the financial services business, if we're in insurance, assets under management, whatever it is, when we sit down with a client, what are they saying about us? What's going through their minds, folks? What is this person going to try and sell me? When they came to your office and they were driving in the car, coming over, what was their agreement? We're not going to buy anything today. You see, there's this barrier that arises that is based on old-time selling. People have an experience of being manipulated. They don't want it anymore. There's a new customer today who wants no part of it. And ethics becomes the core of how your selling will develop in the future. Otherwise, you're going to get left in the dust. So here's the selling barrier. My question to you is, what is at the root of this barrier that presents itself when we're really trying to help people? I bet everybody in this room really wants to help somebody. And yet you sit down and they say, oh, it's just a salesman. Or she's just selling me something. So what is at the root of this selling barrier that forces cavemen to be cavemen and human beings to be, want your information without any reciprocity? What causes that? Do you know?
Self-interest.
Okay, good. Greed. Okay. What else? No one said the magic word, which is where all greed, self-interest, fear. Good for you. Fear is at the basis of this whole system of old school selling that we have been taught for 150 years. Fear, well, let me ask you, what fear, when you sit down with a client, anybody, what's your biggest fear on your side of things when you sit down with a client?
Rejection.
Somebody else, come on, you all have them. What's your biggest fear when you sit down with a client? They'll be taller than he is.
What's your biggest fear? Knowing what to say. Anyone fear they're not going to make a sale? Anyone fear they're going to go home and your spouse is going to say, "How did you do today, honey?" Which means, did you close a sale? You're not going to have, you see, we're filled with these fears. Now, on the other side of the fence, what are your client fears? I'm making a mistake. Spending too much money. What else? What are your client mistakes? Did I make a bad choice? Will I look stupid? Will my friends tell me I made, you bought permanent life insurance? Nobody does that. You bought a fixed index annuity? Are you crazy? So we have this fear percolating in us, and that fear on our side and the other side creates a system where actions by both parties are driven by fear. And here's the message that I want, and the message comes in a question. Can any fear-empowered action be ethical? If I do something out of fear, I will sell my company's branded product only because I will lose my job. Is that ethical? I will never use a fixed index annuity because I only sell assets under management. Is that ethical? These are tough questions, but they all come out of fear. I must get the sale because I have a poverty consciousness. I'm afraid of not making money. I'm afraid, your client's afraid. So what I've done over the last 20 years is said, how do we, this is the age of the customer, manufacturing, distribution, age of information, the current customer here wants to be empowered, enabled. I was telling Howard earlier, his message, very important. How do we enable people to see the reality of their lives so they will choose to buy from you? No closing, no manipulation, no tie downs, no warm-ups. Steve, this is great. Could you go get the application for me, please? When is the last time you had a sale close that way? That's the way they should close. And with today's customer, if you don't, I'm going to go through these quickly because he's going to put up another sign with a hang noose in it. Okay? If you want to empower yourself to close sales, that's old. The new one is empowering clients to close themselves. How do I get a client to tell me they want to leave their advisor instead of me trying to convince them that they should? Wouldn't that be nice if your client said, "Hey, I'm dying to leave my advisor and work with you"? I'll show you how to do that. How can you get stop talking about money and talk about improving their lives? They don't care about money. You know, people, we financial advisors think it's all about the money. And I'll say something to you that'll prove to you later. It's never about the money. Never. You have never made one sale because of the money. So I'm kind of one of those challenging guys. Dangerous, in Howard's words. It's about solving client problems. No, it's about coaching clients so they can solve their problems. Who's better to solve your client's problem and determine what's ethical for them or not? You or them? You see, in the old days, you go to a doctor and you say, "What's wrong with me, doctor?" He says, "Well, you do this. What should I take? You take this, this, and this. You go home and you do it." Today, if you go to the doctor and he says, "Take this, this, and this," what do? You Google it. You don't trust, it's a different world. We don't trust anybody. We're gonna self-empower ourselves. The last piece here, next to last, in old-time selling, it's getting the win. In ethical selling, it's about getting the client to win. In old-time selling, it's about trial and error. I'll try this, I'll try this, I'll try this. It might work, it might not work, it might be good for them, it might be bad for them. In new, ethical, respectful selling, it's about using a system. I've spent 22 years developing a selling system that has no selling in it. I go home at night, I feel ethical, I feel respectful of my clients, and I write $30 million a year between annuities, life insurance, and assets under management. At the same time, I run and have built a marketing organization based on this whole idea is, can we be really, really ethical in this business? And trying to understand what that means. So this is a big question. The reason that EOL is doing what it's doing, because a lot of people in our business are not ethical. They're great salespeople, but they're not ethical. And there's a way of changing the world, but you know who it starts with? You gotta change yourself to change the world. And that's what I'm all about. So I need to stop. Thank you very much. I'll see you all later.